dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast, and we're looking at my favorite book in the Bible. It's the book about the glorious church. And so this teaching I call the Book of Ephesians and the Glorious Church. It's this book that tells us in chapter 5, verse 25 through 27, that he is going to present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blame and blemish before him. Now back to the beginning of this book, which is filled with God's purpose for the church, as well as for all creation, we'll start again with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. One translation says, every blessing heaven has to offer, he has blessed his body with, the ecclesia. Just as he chose us in him before the katabole of the world. Katabole, it says foundation in the King James, but it means the overthrow of the world. Before this earth, which was created perfectly, before it fell into ruin at the fall of Satan, God knew he not only could reestablish an earth and bring it into perfection, but that he was going to bring a group of people forth that were going to stand before him holy and blameless. As I said, the period in Ephesians 1:4 should go after the word, after the phrase, before him. He chose us in him before the katabole, the overthrow of the world, the ruin of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In the Hebrew, when it says seek his presence, it always says seek my face. So the Hebrew word pene is face. So the Hebrew word for before, now I know that the New Testament is Greek, but the Hebrew word for before is lifne, to the his face. So what it's telling us here is that he chose a group before Satan even was overthrown in this earth. Certainly before the fall of Adam. He was going to make a group that would be holy and blameless and stand before him to his face. The place of the church right now, we're citizens of heaven, is before him. The place of the church throughout all eternity is before him. We will work with him, with the Father. We will stand before him. We will work. Oh, my goodness, I watched the blood moon the other night, and I saw all the stars up there, and I knew that we're only part of one galaxy, that there are many galaxies. The Milky Way is huge, but there are huger and more. And throughout all eternity, when God works, there's enough to keep us busy forever. We'll be before him. We'll be working with him. We will be a glorified group that God chose out before the katabole of the world. In love, now this is verse 5, he predestined us to adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Since man fell from the glory, man could not stand in the presence of God. I was given a revelation of the glory of God. It started back in the 1970s, late 70s. I was teaching a Sunday school class in Collinsville, Oklahoma, and we were going through the Bible. And God told Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, whom I worked for, it would behoove you to look up every scripture in the Bible on glory. He did so. before computers, before you could just punch a button and get all the verses, he looked them all up. He put them on sheets of paper, typed them. And when God told him he would read those scriptures, which talked about the glory, talked about fire, talked about smoke, talked about cloud, but it was a manifestation of the presence of God. The glory of God is the manifestation of the presence of God. When he would read those scriptures, just read them as God directed him, amazing things would happen. Oft times a cloud of glory would begin back in the back and sweep up across the congregation, sweep the people up, put them under the pews, knock them all down. It was amazing. So I had this thought at the time, if it would behoove him to look up all the scriptures on the glory of God, it would behoove me. And I started my study of the glory, I know, under the inspiration of the Spirit. And at the same time, I was teaching a Sunday school class in our church, a Glorious Church Fellowship. At that time, it was a Friends Church, Quaker Church, in Collinsville, Oklahoma. And so I was teaching a Sunday school class, which was growing rapidly. And I began teaching them at Genesis 1, and God showed me about what happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And during this time, he showed me the fall. He showed me a vision of the fall. Now remember, I've looked up the scriptures on the glory, and I've started in Genesis 1 to go through the Bible with the Sunday school class. I saw that man was crowned with glory. God crowned Adam with glory. The angel said, "What is a man that you've got him in your mind, that you visit him? We've always had to call on you, but here's one you visit. And God, you crowned him with glory." And I saw that God put a crown on Adam's head, not made of diamonds, not made of gold, but made of glory. It covered him. It covered his being. And when the God of glory came down every cool of the day to walk with Adam in the garden to plan, Adam so enjoyed the presence of God because he was crowned with the presence of God. Of course, he was of like substance. And then some of the saddest verses in the Bible are when God came and Adam wasn't there. "Where are you, Adam?" "Oh, I hid myself. I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" He became naked when he fell to the temptation of Satan. And God let me see this. He let me see this fall. One morning, I was getting ready to teach the Sunday school class. And up, it was early, early in the morning. I'd gotten up before my husband and before the kids to put the dinner on. And while we went to church, put a roast on and also to get prepared. And I was thinking about the Sunday school class, and I was putting on my makeup in our only bathroom at the mirror. And I heard up above and to the right behind me, I heard, "Do you know Romans 3:23? My first thought was, "Thank God it's one I know." And I did know it because I was brought up Baptist and we led people to the Lord down the Roman road. This was one of the early steps. So I turned around confidently to quote the verse to the Lord. I knew it was the voice of the Lord. And I said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory." And I started to faint. I started to go down in slow motion in my bathroom because I saw what a horrendous fall it was. It was a fall from the highest heights, from the glory of God, down to the lowest depths and the mire of Satan. I almost succumbed to it, but then the Lord strengthened me and picked me back up with another verse of Scripture. He said, "The captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory." And that straightened me, strengthened me. And the Lord said to me, "I wish you'd look at the fall from my point of view." I said, "I'd be glad to, Lord, if you show me." I saw the fall. I saw how far it was. I saw Satan. I saw a great gulf fixed between where God and glory was and where Satan was, and the man was cringing, cowering behind him. And I heard Satan say to God, "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" And I saw that God He told me, I did not do this thing in a corner. I stepped to center stage and made a statement which rocked creation, all creation, from the regions of glory to the regions of the damned. When I said, let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over the works of our hands. He said, when Satan tempted the man and the man had a will that kept him from being a robot or a Pinocchio, when he tempted that will of man and man fell, he thought he had defeated God. He thought God could no longer come in contact with his man for the glory of God. It says our God is a consuming fire. What does he consume? He consumes sin. And man had become sin. He had become spiritual death. And the Lord said to me, the first impulse of any man to a fallen child is to grab that child, lift him up, and clasp him to his bosom. But had I done so, I would have destroyed him. I would have burned him up. And in him, I would have destroyed all mankind. And so I saw a vision of my son Terry, who at that time was thin and rode bulls. And I saw him there with his leather belt and his silver buckle. And the Lord said to me, what if you could not hug Terry? For if you hugged him, you would destroy him, you would consume him, you would burn him up. And I was thinking, oh, I would forget. I know I would. I would be overcome just to hug him. But the Lord said that was my position in the fall. And then I saw Satan again. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do? He was taunting God, mocking God. You said he's going to have a dominion over the works of your hands, and he can't even work with you because he's become sin. And if you work with him, you'll destroy him. He thought he'd won. And I was made to know that God did not answer him. And I saw in the midst of God like a door, small door, had a door knob on it. And on it was written, top secret. And I knew there was the answer, but it was secret. God was not going to tell Satan. And he didn't have to do anything now because he had already done it. There was a lamb slain, we are told, before the foundation of the world. So all through the Old Testament, it wasn't revealed. The mystery wasn't revealed. The prophets got glimpses into it, but it wasn't revealed. It wasn't revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It was not revealed, this great mystery of God, that would provide him a people that could work with him throughout eternity, made of the same stuff he's made of, glorified even in their bodies. That was in the plan. And that is revealed to us in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you would like to have my book, which I go into some of these things in detail, The Blood and the Glory, for $10 plus shipping, just call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or you can go online at billybrim.org and you will have to ask for the radio offer. That's billybrim.org. And so this is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.